I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do you recognize God's guidance in your life? Okay, I want you to hang on to that because in the beginning, well, God gave guidance as an explanation, right? We all remember this. Let's go back to Genesis. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Everything falls apart. But after a quick chat with a sneaky snake, it was clear that it didn't take because in spite of that spoken warning, we wanted the experience. So Eve took some and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was not very bright but was with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were open and they realized they were naked. And then, you know the rest. That's the first domino. Everything falls apart. And boom, right there, the awful experience still taught the same lesson that God had tried to explain without the pain. Because here's the big truth this morning, whether it's Adam, Eve, you, or me, every human has to live with this truth. There is no escaping God's guidance. It is built into life. The best we can ever do is try to ignore it. But even that takes active effort to go against our aggressive instinct to make things make sense. It's just what we naturally want to do because in all of our lives, everybody here, every experience is just begging for an explanation, right? My car just died. What do you want to know? What happened? You know, explain that. My taxes went up. Who's responsible? That was the best. That's where we're going to talk. You know, the sermon took a decidedly left turn there. No, that was the best sandwich I ever ate. What did you put on it? You want an explanation for every experience. They just are begging for it. And because God wants us to chase down and understand his truth, every life experience ultimately entices us toward an explanation that only God can give. And now, as we saw, God would prefer, I mean, because he loves us, God would prefer that we learn from his explanations first to keep our experiences pain-free. The problem is that means that we got to listen. And listening requires a him-first approach. And self-centered humans really prefer the me-first method of personal experience. Me, me, me. It's got to be all about me and how I, you know, how I take it. But here's the thing. Only fools only want their own input. That's just ridiculous, right? Because the way of fools seems right to them and only them. But the wise listen to advice. And if you want a quick way to separate fools from the wise, that's it. That's it right there. The wise seek guidance while fools only want to give it. Okay, I'm preaching at myself now. Oof, I hate that. Anyway, but just look around and read, you know, everything throughout human history, you'll discover the same thing. The wisest people who ever lived all share this one quality. They all ask the most questions and they listened for the most answers. And so, of course, no wonder that was Jesus's way from the start, all the way at the beginning. And we know that because that first little peek that we get into his adolescence, that only that one little story that we get, is about when his parents lost him at the age of 12, right? They couldn't find him. And then after 3 days, which seems a little long for, you know, good parents. But anyway, after 3 days, they said, we should probably do something about this, you know? It was a different time. And he's Jesus. So they were like, he's fine. Anyway, after 3 days, though, they tore themselves off the couch and they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. That's just who he was. That's just his natural spirit. And now I'm going to tell you right here, apart from the prophecies and the ministry and the miracles, this has got to be one of the biggest proofs of Jesus' supernatural spirit, because this story took place during Passover, and no 12-year-old that I have ever known would ever choose to go to school during a holiday break. Guaranteed, that's God right there. Seriously, I'm not even kidding. We all know this. Sitting and listening is hard, right? It's hard for all of us. That's why this church has some empty seats in it. It's hard to sit and listen. But you know, it is torture for kids. It is just torturous to have to sit and listen. And the reason is this, and we all know it. We were all born without the wisdom to want that input of others. Like we're told, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. It's just part of our DNA. It's how we all started off. We all started off just thinking we were self-sufficient because foolishness is a birth defect that we all share. It's just part of who we are. It's our flesh. And so we know this from experience. It's why every single parent in this room knows this, has experienced this when they heard they're helpless. They know that we know that they're helpless. These helpless toddlers foolishly assert things like, I can do it on my own, right? I can do it myself. No, you can't. No, you can't. You're bad at this. Or you try to correct them and they say, I already knew that. Or they say, I just don't need your help. Yeah, you do, kids. Yes, you do. We know that. But that's just, we all start off that way because we just don't know what we don't know, right? That's kids. And it is only after we start experiencing our inadequacy that we wise up and start asking for those explanations. Because we don't want them in the beginning, because the bottom line is this: listening is a form of submission. It's admitting that we need the input of others. And as we have discussed in the last few weeks, that goes against our instinct to see any submission as a sign of strength, not weakness. We think that means weakness. If you are submitting, it means that you're weak, but it's just not true. It's strength. It's where wisdom comes from. And thank the Lord that he loves his prideful little fools, because he knows that about us. He knows how hard it is for us to unlearn those things. So he designed every single life to teach those lessons that we just won't listen to. And we hear about it in the Old Testament. He says, look, this is how it's going to go. My people would not listen to me. All right, remember, Israel would not submit to me. So here's what I did. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. Okay, you got it figured out. And now you get to experience God's truth through his creation. That's the failsafe right there. There's the net. Experience his truth through his creation. You wouldn't listen to it. So down here, truth surfaces. So your own wickedness will correct you. And your backslidings will rebuke you. I don't even got to do it, says God. That's designed into your life. Just the experience of living life guides us to the truth that is behind reality. And the first big correction that foolish kids learn from experience is how wise we are not. We know that one all too well. I have a master's degree in that. Just like the prodigal son, probably my favorite story in the entire Bible, we're going to recap it. Remember this? The younger of two sons said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. Me, right? Give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them, and the young son set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. And as a result of that experience, he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself to feed pigs. And as his experience continued to get more painful, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. What is going on here? Which drove him to seek an explanation. Where did I go wrong? Why is this happening, you know? And eventually, when he came to his senses, which is what that experience does for you, he said, man, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. What am I going to do with this? I will go back. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him this explanation that I learned from this experience. I'll say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he learned his lesson. We know how the rest of that goes. He reads, oh, I love you, welcome home, it's all good, and all that's wonderful, right? And you learn the lesson. You just had to sleep with the pigs for a while. Does that sound familiar? Yes, it does. I can't speak for you, but I'm going to tell you it does. That was in your life. That's a story in all of our lives. Because that pretty much sums up how I grew up. And a lot of us, the grass was greener because I knew better. But when we won't listen to reason, reality hurts. And it takes that pain to push us back toward the truth that God originally wanted to give painlessly. He said, yeah, you learned your lesson now, right? You should have just listened to me. Because we all had our chance to listen, right? We all had our chance to take the easy way and just heed his word, but we were all born too foolish to actually follow it. Because guess what? We were all given his word. God gave us his word quite literally as his explanation. But our stubborn and self-centered hearts just couldn't sit still and submit enough to learn by listening alone. And then we had the whole Old Testament period to prove that, right? So after his written law proved that point over those thousands of years, he decided it was time to change things. He knew what we needed. And the most incredible thing in human history happened. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Out of his love for us kids, God turned his explanation into an experience, and he called it Jesus. And suddenly, we could fully experience God without fully listening to his explanation. Not as a shortcut, just because we wouldn't do it. Jesus became the way to know God before we understand him, because that's the only way to teach foolish humans. And it sounds crazy, right? It sounds like that's impossible. You can't know something before you understand it. But that is how it works down here. God built it that way for us foolish kids. It's, for example, this is the exact same way that every single one of us learns about gravity, right? Way before we understand it. If we throw a ball in the air, we know with every fiber of our being that it's going to come back to earth by our experience alone, which taught us what goes up must come down just by experience. I don't need an advanced physics degree to understand that, right? But it's only after we intimately know that truth by experience of just throwing the ball that we'll seek to understand it by explanation. And that's where Newton comes in. He goes, "What? How did that happen, right?" And we'll try to actually understand it by explanation. And trusting what we know, regardless of what we understand, is called faith. Okay? That's faith. I still don't understand exactly how gravity is a function of mass and distance and, you know, the finer mathematical points of it. But I know by faith that it will bring a ball back to earth. I know it. And I still don't understand exactly how God's love functions in my life and all of my goings on. But I know by faith that Jesus will bring me back into his arms. Because I have experienced life with him in it. And after experiencing life with him in it, I'm just like Paul when he says, I am convinced. I've been convinced. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. Get it? Nothing. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And so now I know that. I've experienced it. And so now I know that we were given life as an act of love so we could experience love, so we can be saved by love. Because once we know life with Jesus, once we have that experience, we know and rely on the love God has for us as that guiding force, that gravity in our life. Because God is love. That's the force that's at work all the time. Now, does that mean that everything, here's the good news, bad news. Does that mean that everything clicks, you know, and we get to just waltz through life without any more pain, frustration, or confusion? You wish. No, it does not. It does not mean that at all. Things just get harder, actually, as a matter of fact. But here's what it does mean. It means we have faith that love will somehow explain all of our experiences. And I tell you, if you want to see this at work, read your Bible. Those dull, dim-witted disciples that are following him around, that's who you're supposed to identify with because we're just like them. And they are so frustratingly dim sometimes. Take the time, for the third time, Jesus explains plainly how he's going to die. And he's not making it hard or speaking in like crazy language or anything. He's like, we're going to go here. This is going to happen. And then in response, the disciples did not understand any of this. Me no understand. I mean, it was just ridiculous. Its meaning was hidden from them somehow. And they did not know what he was talking about. See that? Three times we had to see how dull they were. They didn't get it. But by their experience, they did know who was talking to them. They knew his character. They knew his power. They knew his wisdom. And they knew that it was all a function of his love because they had been experiencing, they'd been walking with him. They got it. They knew it. So they had faith that every experience had some loving reasons, a good explanation, even if they didn't fully understand what they were. And a great example of this is like when Jesus was washing their feet. He hinted at a much bigger meaning, knowing that it's like, you guys are just not understanding what's going on here. And he says straight out to them, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. And that's what I want you guys to hear big time this morning. That is a huge lesson for us foolish children. Later you will understand. That is God's faith in us. Oh, and it's so good. It is so reassuring. It's the reassurance that if we just trust his love is leading our life, well, then we'll grow the wisdom to actually see how it happens. That's a promise. He knows that's going to, he just do it and you'll see. And in the meantime, it's the reassurance that we can trust our struggles will serve a purpose as long as we just know he's in control. That's what you have to know. You don't have to understand or explain a thing, but you got to know he's in control. And that means experiencing Jesus, to know him, has got to be humanity's number one top priority. And I just heard, oh man, this moved me unimaginably because certain things, I wanted to be an apologist so bad. When I first became a Christian, I was going to explain to the world why it makes sense and save everyone. I thought that's how it was going to happen. And apologists love to do that. And one of the most successful Christian explainers, Lee Strobel, you guys know Lee Strobel, Case for Christ, wrote a bunch of books, really great stuff. He gave an interview that I just heard that really drove this point home. Where he said, he was talking about how he used to go about engaging non-Christians, right? He'd be walking around trying to evangelize, to, you know, explain them things. And he said he used to ask them, what would they ask God to explain if they were given the chance? If you had one question, and God had to answer it, what would you ask him? And ultimately, most of them said they'd ask some form of the question, why does God allow suffering? And we know this one because this is a huge hurdle for a lot of people, right? This is what makes it so difficult to believe. Why does God allow suffering? And Lee said, this was great. This was great because I had a 5-point sermon ready to go that was going to like explain all of the reasons why it was. And I would offer it to them and then they would kind of tune out and whatever. And he said, so here's what happened over time. He said he started shifting his approach. And instead, he started asking why that was their question. Why did you care about the suffering? Because when he did, he noticed that people just started sharing the very real personal pain that was what they wanted explained, such as a spouse's cancer diagnosis. Why did you let them get cancer if there's a loving God? Or the loss of a child. Why would you let that happen, God? I thought you loved me. And he realized in that moment, they were not seeking a theological understanding of how God loves them. Rather, they needed someone to just put their arms around them and show them that God loves them. They didn't need an explanation of Jesus. They needed an experience of Jesus, because that is where faith begins. We got all the time in the world to explain it, guys, but you got to experience it. And as important as it is for us to bring those experiences of Jesus to others, that's what we're called to do, right? It's the Great Commission. Go out there, love them, tell them, show them. The question today was this: do you recognize God's guidance in your life? Okay? I want you to hear the inverse. The truth is this: you are hurting. You are in need, and you are frustrated. And in this moment, right now, you need an experience of Jesus. And so it is critical for you to remember that there is no escaping God's guidance, because there is no escaping His love. It is everywhere. And our whole life changes when we start recognizing it. You got to see Him at work. You got to see that love. So the question is, how do you know that you're loved? Is it because people tell you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you? How many times? Is it on the fifth time? I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Oh, now I get it. I believe it, right? Is it a PowerPoint explanation? What does it take for some? It's none of those things, right? It does not matter what you say, because love isn't something you say. It's something you do. Love is an experience. And the experience of God's love is stitched into every inch of every life. Because He understands, for us to know His love, we need God to show His love. We got to see it. We're a bunch of foolish kids. We just have to experience it. And so guess what? We need Him to show it. He did. He showed it. And this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. That's where it was. There you go. There's your touchstone right there. And with that one example of perfect love, He forged a way for our experience of His love to stay permanently. Because no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. And His love is made complete in us. This is how love is made complete among us. In this world, we are like Jesus to others. You get that? Together, we're the body. We do that. We are like Jesus to others, which means we love because He first loved us. That's where we picked it up. That's how we learn to be that body. That's how we learn to show Jesus. How we learn to give the experience of Jesus. And so now, here's the incredible part. Now, when we give the love of Jesus, we also get to give the guidance of Jesus. Right? It just comes with it. When I heard so many stories between services of exactly this thing, of people saying, I heard it, somebody heard it through something I said, whatever it was. But I want you to hear this loud and clear. This morning, we're taking the flip side. The other part of that, teaching means when we receive the love of Jesus, we are also receiving His guidance. Okay? And that means it comes from every other sister and brother in God's family in our life. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. We need to just be ready to hear it. In fact, here's the most incredible thing, okay? I got that guidance yesterday. Yesterday, Saturday, I was here trying to finish this sermon, and I had a whole bunch of ideas. I wanted to make it an extra 20 minutes long. I had this whole bit about how I was like, see, and the Old Testament was the explanation. We need the experience, and there's that scripture where it says, and there's a veil over your heart for the people who don't know Jesus, and with Jesus, the veil is taken away, and you can it was going to be great. It was going to be awesome. It was going to be huge, right? And I was sitting here trying to find a way to explain all of that to you. Right? Because I can't hear my own stupid self as I'm typing these things. I'm trying to explain it when I know I shouldn't be. And while I was just sitting here, it was yesterday morning, one of you came to clean the church. And you stopped to talk to me. And you stopped to tell me that you knew about a personal pain that I had been experiencing. And so this person shared their sympathy. and shared some insight, and they gave me a hug, and they gave me a pep talk, and they promised to pray for me, and they said, when I make a promise to pray, I'm going to pray, so just look out. And you don't even know. It just changed everything. And in that moment, I felt the courage and the clarity that I knew I needed to push past my pain. And it wasn't until I sat down, I went back to my office to sit down and write this sentence that I'm saying right now. This is how insane it was. I sat down to write this to say, I should put this story. This is so kind of exactly what I'm talking about. Holy smokes, how did I miss this? And I was sitting down and I recognized this was the experience of God's love and guidance that I have been writing about all week. Because God's amazing like that. And I just had this feeling all of a sudden, this is how you do it. This is how you show that love and you push me forward, encourage me this way, that way, whatever. It was with these other people. You just bring them. You say, go love on Noah. And it worked. And this foolish kid who's trying to pastor you grew a little bit of wisdom, thank heavens, and a little bit of faith. And so by all means, look, go out there and love others. That's what we're supposed to do. Right? Go out there today and just love on others, because that's how we're going to save this world. That's how we guide this whole world toward God's will. But if you want to learn your lessons in the least painful way, don't you forget to let others love you. Because that's where God is loving you. He is sending these little instruments of love and guidance every single day to you. And that's the experience where we can faithfully learn to listen and finally hear God's explanation. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray about it, guys. Father God, boy, do we love you and we thank you for giving us this life to experience your inescapable guidance toward your truth. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us to hear your explanation as we submit to the love that we are receiving from every member of your family. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for paying that ultimate price to come down here and enter our lives so that we can know your love is the unstoppable force that leads us back to you. And to that, everybody said, amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.